Okay, I'll take it again. Welcome back to Soccer Cards United. It's episode 210 of the greatest soccer card podcast in the world. My name is Jason. That's Enzo. Hello, Enzo.
Hello, Jason.
Here we are, back again. Some listener questions to answer, some products to preview, a top secret checklist that was secret and now is public for some reason. I don't know why I couldn't just public in the first place. We're going to be going through that. So lots to do on the show today. We're going to start off in Panini Land.
Oh, yes, please.
Because in very, very exciting news, off the back of Serie A score returning, Serie A Select is returning, which means premium Frosinone trading cards for this season.
I cannot believe it. Last year, it was an absolute pleasure to get premium Select AC Milan cards because Select was so rare, it doesn't happen. Now we have Serie A Select coming back. No one knew if it would, if it wouldn't. We assumed it might. It is. All I need to do now is see a checklist with full of Frosinone players, all sorts of inserts and everything. But Jesus Christ, Jason, I'm so excited about this product. I will be getting involved in breaks. I'm hoping Frosinone are not in the other category. That image right there, Jason, that's like an Italian flag. It's a bit of an Italian flag.
Yes, the tricolore. I'm saying.
Oh, listen, I'm interested. I'm very interested. I'm hoping the Frosinone checklist is good. I'm hoping for more than two or three people. I'm hoping for some autographs. I've never seen the likes of it. But I'm hunting them 101s. I'm hunting the black prisms. To be hunting black prism Frosinone cards is a true luxury.
Quite extraordinary. The vibrant, the popular Select Serie A returns for 23-24 with a spectacular 250 card base set.
Featuring that sounds very good.
Sounds like we're in for a treat here. Three distinct levels of collectability, terrace, mezzanine, and field level, and an array of colorful parallels. As it has become its calling card, Select boasts a stunning parallel ensemble featuring multicolor, camo, tie-dye, zebra, black, and many more. Chase stunning autographed memorabilia cards of the biggest Serie A stars in the Select signatures, pitch side signatures, and autographed memorabilia inserts. Super rare gems such as stained glass, artistic impressions, and visionary fall one per case on average. Wow, very, very exciting stuff.
If there's like, if any Frosinone player got one of those case hits, especially stained glass, come on. Yeah. I'm excited. To be honest, I don't know. I feel like I might be experiencing like a real, because like AC Milan is such an expensive thing, so it's almost hard to get super excited about AC Milan cards. When I pull them, I'm really happy. When I'm trying to buy them, it's tough. But like Frosinone, I like to think the demand is going to be so low, and I'm just kind of geeking out. I feel like you with Irish cards, I suppose.
Yeah,
because it's something you really want to collect, and it feels like you can be a high-end collector of that in terms of the high-end cards without breaking the bank. So I'm like, can I get all of the 101s? That's what I'm asking myself. Can I get them all?
Yeah, very good. It's exciting. Although I have to say, I felt a couple of months ago pretty confident that it might be, you know, maybe we miss out on the product here or product there, but over the next couple of years, there's going to be plenty of opportunities. But recent results have not really been going the way of Frosinone. And now it's looking like we better take all we can get while the going's good.
It's tough. For the first time this season, we're in the relegation zone, which is sickening with 9 games to go. We basically started so well and we've had such a bad form, but our early season form kept us afloat for as long as it could. It's a weird one. I don't really know, because obviously if we get relegated this year, God forbid, it'd be the third time we got immediately sent back down, never stayed in the league ever. It'd upset me, but also there'd be less cards to chase, which would be kind of cool. But on the flip side, should we stay in the league, all of these cards will be cards featuring players that for the first time in our entire history kept us in the league, which makes me want them more. I don't really want a gang of lads that gave me hope and ultimately failed me, you know?
Yeah.
But ultimately, that canary yellow, Jason, that canary yellow on a black prism, Are you mad?
It's gonna pop.
It's gonna be beautiful. It's gonna pop. I think the only couple of players that we'll probably have a challenge buying is gonna be Sule and maybe Kayo Jorge, even though he missed the last minute penalty, he's just come back. But I think those two will kind of have collectability outside of just Frosinone. Obviously, Juventus fans will be collecting them. For Brazilian or Argentinians might be hunting them as well. But thankfully, neither of them are rookies. Both of them have premium rookie cards that are not that expensive. So I'd like to think we're good. I think I'm gonna be able to try and collect all Frosinone 101 cards and have one of the greatest collector's display cases you'll ever see at the next Dublin Card Show. There you go.
Very exciting. Very exciting indeed. And okay, so that's Serie A Select is coming back.
I'm excited.
And obviously, I should just mention that last year we had Kvitsa Kvaratskhelia and Rasmus Højlund both had short print, relatively speaking, rookie cards in Serie A Select. I can't think of an outstanding rookie this year in Serie A, so the prices shouldn't be as mental.
Yeah, but you don't think those inside Panini HQ have no idea why Serie A Select was expensive last year?
I look forward to finding out.
They called it the vibrant and popular. The vibrant and popular Serie A Select. It's like, is it? But at the same time, it's like, it's a, but it is interesting. A lot of people are like, there are people that say unpopular opinion. I wish Select wasn't an every year thing. It's kind of special. Don't just churn it out. I don't want all these tie dyes and stuff. I agree with that to a degree. I think I'd much rather a Select release versus a Mosaic, to be fair.
Yeah.
If they're only going to do one. I think my big kind of guess this year is that I think we are going to see a Ligue 1 Select. That's my big conspiracy theory hat on. I think for the first time ever, we're going to see that Select box with Ligue 1 on it, the French League. And I think they'd be crazy not to, especially with Mbappe looking to be leaving next year. They have the license. France is growing like crazy. If they have their finger on the punts at all, and based on the fact that they've stuck Ligue 1 down there with their licenses on their website, Jason, they obviously are losing licenses, so they want to build on the licenses they have. I would like to think the Ligue 1 Select is something that will drop this year. People will be super excited about it. We'll see an Mbappe Select autograph, ooh, and all this sort of stuff. I think that's coming. Maybe I'm giving them too much credit, Jason. I don't know. But there you go.
But we'll see. You mentioned collecting Italy, I believe, during that conversation. And if you want to collect Italy for the Euros, Enzo, you won't be going to the Topps products. You'll be going to Panini, who have come out swinging after Topps got the license and didn't have some of the crucial teams. Panini have announced an official sticker collection, England 2024 tournament edition, but featuring France, Germany, Italy, and Spain as well.
Is Spain a confirmed license that won't be in Euro?
Yes.
Topps Euro? Is it? Wow.
Yeah.
I thought it was England, France, Germany, Italy. I didn't think Spain was in there too. That's weird, but I like it. I like them swinging. It's weird. I like the main reason I like it is that it's Panini UK, because I feel like this is very much a Panini America beef, but Panini UK has got involved, which are wildly separate entities.
I mean, we don't know. It seems obviously in the sticker world, stickers are massive businesses for the manufacturers, not so much for us as collectors. I don't know how much crossover this is going to have into the premium card thing. I don't think they're going to bring out some sort of anthology card series, but they might.
Like Panini in Europe must be hurting that they cannot mass produce a Euro 2024 album, I suppose.
Yeah,
that's their whole thing.
Well, so I saw some people in the Instagram comments of this post from Panini UK saying that there's now two imperfect sticker products out there for a sticker collector. Because you have the Topps one that doesn't have the official kits for everybody, and then you have the Panini one that's not even a Euro, it's not an official Euro thing. And I saw somebody said, should have just left it with Panini, and I thought, oh my friend, you have no idea. You have no idea the swirl of conflicts that this is part of. This is only one battle in it.
Yeah, because from a passionate sticker collector and album completer point of view, you're thinking Panini have always had the license. Now Topps have it for the first time ever. And it's kind of like, you're going to go into that going, okay, let's see how Topps do. But then when Topps' first version of it doesn't have official licenses, you're going, Panini were always great. That's how you feel.
Hang on, I'd like to correct the record on the Spain thing. I do see a Spain kit, an official Spain kit.
Okay.
So Spain are...
Fascinating. Yeah. But I think about like the NBA, right? Like Topps get the NBA off Panini, right? So if Topps Chrome NBA came out and they just decided, say if it was this year, they decided that we just don't have the Spurs in it for whatever reason. So there's no Wembanyama, which they never do. But it's like, you're thinking, when Panini did it, they always had all the teams, and now look at this, and you get upset. So like, if you're a sticker collector, you're thinking, I've always collected Panini stickers, they're class, now there's a change. Okay, how's this change going to go? And then Dops not being able to have the official license, they're going, why? What is this? What's going on? I feel this is exactly why I didn't want it to change. So from Dops' point of view, it must be sad for them because they obviously want to come out swinging, hit the ground running with a Euro sticker album. And obviously, licensing beyond their control has made it kind of, maybe not, because you think it's easy to think about the hobby side, but maybe that's gone really, really bad with the sticker community, which is a big, big, big community.
Who knows? We'll see how this one plays out.
It's tough. Here's one for you, Jason.
Yeah.
Do you think one of the teams that are not officially licensed could become the eventual winners of this tournament?
Yeah, well, it's all the favorites.
Yeah, that's going to be tough. That'll be tough.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, the, you know, how collectible are these cards going to be? You know, they're not.
I feel like Paul Lesko is one of the few people that will be very into it.
But then, yeah, hopefully. Maybe, I feel like because it's a soccer thing, it's like, it kind of just seems like, whatever, there's some soccer thing going on. You know what I mean? Like, it's not really an NBA or NFL or baseball. That's a story. That's something you can sink your teeth into. but I think it might just be like, especially because it's not a World Cup thing. So it's not like the Americans aren't even involved. It's just a Euros thing. I said, is this the Champions League? No, it's the Euros. Oh, okay, you know.
Like, who cares? The Euros? Uh-huh.
Sticker collectors.
Proper life. Yeah, sticker collector. You want to piss them off.
No.
Let me tell you.
Yeah.
It's going to be fascinating.
At the other end of the spectrum, we had this little sneaky little morsel put in of UEFA Dynasty in a Topps post last week. They were putting out patch autos, like a little collection of different patch autos from different licenses. Mm-hmm. And Dynasty was included. A one-of-one Leo Messi Erling Haaland dual patch auto. Oh. There we go. Oof. That's it.
My goodness.
With the Jordan brand. From PSG there, and the little sailboat from Manchester City.
Sailing on the oil ship.
Yeah, the good ship, that's oil brilliant. Money.
People complain that Messi can't quite keep his autograph in the white space, which is funny.
Yeah.
He's Messi, he does what he wants.
Yeah.
Well, some people complained about it, as people do. But a lot of people are very excited about it, as they ought to be.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. It's kind of fun. It's, you know, it's one of those things where I look at this card and I feel like we've, let's put it back on screen when I talk about this. I feel like we've entered into a new phase or something. I don't know. And like, did you see the stats of the top scorers in the Champions League this season? And it's like six is the highest or whatever. And it's kind of like people talking about like, you know, we really are in the post-Messi Ronaldo era, and there's going to be kind of an adjustment. We're going to have to recalibrate what counts as good and what counts as kind of, you know. But I see Erling Haaland and Leo Messi, and it's a great card, I suppose. Who's the collector for that?
Someone that's very rich and supports both PSG and Man City. My big thing there, Jason, to be honest, I want to pull out is Messi's obviously not a Paris Saint-Germain. And if you were going to feature Messi in a set while he's not a Paris Saint-Germain, it would make more sense to have him in a Barcelona kit. Uh-huh. I'm looking at the neckline of that Man City kit. And I'm wondering, is this a 22-23 vibe? Like, is that that 20? I'm not sure, I might be wrong here. Is that the 22-23 Man City kit? Is that this year's Man City kit? What year?
It's not this year's. I believe that is 22-23, yeah.
Right, so is this product a 22-23 Dynasty product where we just seen PSG Chrome come out as a 22-23?
Mm-hmm.
Or what's going on, basically?
Yeah, well, I guess we'll find out sometime in the far future.
That's it. I don't know. I think when we seen like the Messi triple auto with Iniesta, Xavi, that was a thing of beauty.
Yeah.
Because it makes sense. It links up. It's iconic. Whatever. Like, Messi and Eto, I wouldn't hate that. You know, there's ways to... You don't have to... It doesn't have to always be Haaland.
Yeah, it doesn't have to always be Haaland, no. It's obviously he's the kind of talk of the town,
the poster child of the new era. Yeah,
yeah. But see, like for me, it's just like the longer time passes, I'm just like all aboard that Mbappe train. Quite frankly, I'm just like you just look at like the post Messi Ronaldo world, and you go, it's Mbappe.
It's Kylian.
It's Kylian. It's not this Erling. This Erling Haaland fella's a card, like.
No. You're mad. I think, obviously, if Mbappe leaves PSG and goes to a true club,
which he's doing this summer. Hard,
which he's doing this summer, I know. But what I'm saying, it's going to be hard to not just be in awe of that, the happenings of that.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah. That's a momentous momentous occasion.
For that's a piece global of soccer.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. But that's life, Jason. Look, you can't... For me, I like to find joy with the smaller things in life, mm-hmm. such as Frosinone trying to win games of football against Nazis and failing.
Yeah.
The Euro finals, there was another very exciting piece of information about the more recent release upcoming this Friday.
This one?
And you're ready, yeah? Yeah, this one. I have no doubt you had it ready to go. I just wanted to lead you there.
Yeah, so... last week sometime the Eurofine, after we had done the podcast, the Eurofinest checklist started to apparently land in the hands of Breakers and Breaks
Fanatics Live Breakers, by the way.
Fanatics Live Breakers. So you can, you know, it doesn't take, you know, Sherlock Holmes to work that one out. And Break Spot started to go up, and I very quickly bought in myself to a few case breaks because Ireland are included on the checklist for the first time since, you know, any product since 2018, apart from women's Don Russ, but the men's team are included for the first time since 2017, 2018.
Wow.
And eventually all this stuff, there was a few different versions of the checklist going around. People were like, I have the auto checklist, but I don't have the base checklist. I have all this stuff. But Bryn Griffiths here on Twitter has said, let me just lay it all out and put it out for us. So, from Bryn Griffiths, I know this has been kept secret by some, but I'm posting it in its entirety in this thread. I've broken the set down into base, inserts, and autos as a spreadsheet at the bottom if you want it all in one location. So first bit of news on the base checklist of Top's Road to the Euro's Finest. 100-card base set, and as pointed out by some others, huge names missing. No Mbappe, no Bellingham, no Saka.
One name doesn't really
fit. Yeah, I think the same. No Mbappe, no Bellingham is a strange thing.
To be honest, can I hop in there and give it 2 cents on it?
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling they're obviously new age players. I have a feeling that there's a chance they have more control over their licensing or their image rights than other players, maybe. Right. And I have a feeling that they might have rejected it. They might have said, unlicensed? No, you're not putting that out. Not with me. Not with Jude Bellingham. Not with Mbappe. Not with Saka. I think that's a guess. I don't know. I don't see another reason to leave them out, to be honest. That would be my guess.
Yeah. That's an interesting theory. And does make sense because it's a strange, you would include them if you could include them.
Yeah, they've never stopped putting Bellingham places, so it would make no sense to not
have them there. Then on to the prize footballers and prize footballers fusions remain staples. There's also a new insert focused on Depudon. So on the prize footballers, we're getting Griezmann, Isak, Gakpo, Cristiano, Haaland, Gavi, Gonzalo Ramos, Harry Kane, Jamal Musiala, Kevin De Bruyne, Kvyat Kvaratskhelia, Luka Modric, Mikhailo Mudryk, Pedri, and Robert Lewandowski. And it's the same for fusions, I think, more or less.
Cavo Ramos as a debutant when he scored a hat-trick in the World Cup is a bit shocking.
Is he in there as a debutant? Sorry, he is, yeah. For
that could be a Euro debutant, but I don't like that.
Yeah, strange, isn't it? The finest debutants insert includes such names as Yohan Bakayoko, Arda Güler, and Evan Ferguson. Ooh, very exciting. Rasmus Højlund, Nico Williams, a couple of others. We discussed Nico Williams as a debutant at length the last episode. The Man is back. We like that.
Which man?
The Man. All of these
I'm
men.
Come on.
Should have been called Those Men. Euromasters. Some Euromasters including Alan Shearer, Ronaldo, David Seaman, Francesco Totti, John Barnes, Patrick Kluivert, Tony Adams, Thomas Muller, Xavi, and Zinedine Zidane. I like how this checklist points out its own issues. Like they've included all these Euromasters are going to be in unlicensed kits.
Yeah, to be honest, I devastated over the licensing.
Yeah. It's a real sting in the tail, isn't it?
Hmm. It's a wonder they had the Ireland license. There's no one's buying up the rights to that.
No, yeah, you can get that. We could have got that.
Made our own card.
We could have just gone down, gone out to Ashford and got that. Yes, dual autographs. Nemanja Vidic, John Terry, centre-back icons of the Premier League, dual autograph.
I like that. But again, the Terry's going to be a license.
Yeah, strange.
I wouldn't pair a license with an unlicensed player, but I understand that they went on the player, not on the license.
Yeah.
Which is respectful.
This has. I have to say, I'm very
Ronaldo Haaland. Can I just say Ronaldo Haaland? After having seen the Messi Haaland in Dynasty, it's like you don't have to do that.
Yeah.
Well, just do it as well. At the same time, I might just do it. But it's like I don't know why Haaland is a duel with Ronaldo, but he's not a duel with like Musiala for the crack as well. Like, why can't you?
Yes.
Doesn't do more. Like, do more, not less.
Hmm. Prize Fusion autographs. Mm. We saw them.
They're new though for soccer, aren't they? Like,
they're new. Yeah. So, interesting enough. It's just like it's one of those things where it comes to the licenses. I'm not even angry. I'm just slightly disappointed. Like, you know, it's just.
I'm just sad because I don't think it's anything to do with what Topps did. I think they made the checklist. They made or whatever, but it is that's where I suppose. The beefs between companies affect the consumer in a negative way.
Yeah, we're getting hurt.
We're getting hurt by this change of guard. Like, we could have had a nice Euro Select come out.
Yeah.
That people care about because the Euros happen. We could have had some nice bits. Like, that Euro Prism would have been an exciting set. Whereas now we're going to have Euro Chrome and there might not be the licenses. So it's just a bit... It's a bit upset. That's it. As an Italian fan, like, my team is not licensed, Jason. I'm not.
Yeah, I know.
Happy about this. I'm happy that when I'm at a card show, I can go, oh, what's that? Oh, no, I like the licenses, you see. You know, that'll get me out of a lot of trouble. But.
Well, you'll be too busy buying all those Frosinone selects.
Oh, God. As soon as Case Brace go up with that, I want people just DMing me and telling me. And I want no one buying the 101s to try and sell to me. I'll be angry. And I want every breaker to split Frosinone from the other section so I don't have to buy all those other gremlin teams. I want Frosinone for $10 in a 10 case break. I want respect.
Hmm. Probably shouldn't be talking about it so much on the podcast in that case.
No, I like to think this is my, like, if the hobby goes sour on me over Frosinone, I'm out. That's me done.
Right, okay. You're laying down a gauntlet to the hobby and saying, don't mess me around with Frosinone.
I want people handing me all five Frosinones as a Anzo. I know you like this, and I am not going to be able to sell it for much, so you can have this and it'll make you happy. Like, I want kind gestures with Frosinone cards, especially if we get relegated. Because I know all these players. I don't want people saying, ah, it's a Chidera 101. No, shut your mouth. And that means a lot to me, so give me it. Do you know that way? I'll go mad.
Very good.
Very excited.
We do have some listener questions, and I'll start on this feels like a very low energy podcast, so I'll just start on one from Sean Madden here, who left a nice YouTube comment talking about our discussion of Jeff Wilson and the backing out of the deal, and then going on to talk about the podcast. This is from Sean Madden on YouTube. Let me read this out. Regarding the Jeff Wilson deal, personally, I don't think it's fair to be dragged through the mud for backing out of a card purchase. While it's annoying and frustrating if it happens to you, especially for a six-figure card, no quote-unquote deal was made. I think you can only claim somebody backed out of a deal when there's contracts involved. For example, when a celebrity is paid and signs a contract to make an appearance and it doesn't make said appearance. That's backing out of a deal. In an unregulated hobby like the card market, you cannot hold people to the same legal standards we have for all other forms of contractual deals when we are all basing our transactions on verbal agreements. Does the middleman have a right to be frustrated? Sure, but like Enzo said, this airing of dirty laundry can bring zero benefit, if not more harm, to the middleman's reputation than it does to Jeff's. Seems like he had a vendetta and he wanted to try and air it out, air out a big time hobby influencer, and it's backfired, in my opinion. So that was Sean's take.
Can I say I killed that topic. I was on point. Jason, I need snippets of that. I need snippets of that. Jeff Wilson needs to see that we defended him. That's what I want. I want an invitation to Cards HQ to buy for free if I was only 101.
Also wanted to say Jeff himself. The recent couple of podcast episodes have been incredible. As a listener, I can feel the juice you guys have gotten. I've gotten added to your passion for this hobby ever since your successful Dublin card show, and the energy is electric. Keep it up. Well,
that moment seems to come and go. Not only is that come and gone, I blame the later recording of this podcast and the semi delay that we're dealing with for not being in person. But Sean has almost hit the nail on the head perfectly with that comment. The one mistake he made was that it's not a newfound juice and love for the hobby off the back of the successful Dublin Card Show. It's simply no longer having the workload and stress of the Dublin Card Show looming in the air. This is what you call men that have had a bit of time to rest up.
This is different.
The last two, yeah. It's calmness. It's less stress, you know? It's a relief. But no, absolutely, we appreciate that comment. And I think, that's a fair reflection. Today we've had a bit of technical difficulties and a lot going on, but We're back to our best. Jason, I can't believe it's episode 210 after the big show we did about episode 200. And we've been, ever since then, we've kind of fallen off. We've gone and done a Pedri.
I think episode 200 was that before Christmas or just after? Or I can't remember.
I'm pulling it up right now. I want to find out.
All right.
I'm going to get to the bottom of this. Videos. When do you think it was?
I think it was... must have been. I'm going to say January 10th.
January 10th. That's what you reckon, isn't it? How the fuck do I do this? It was 3 months ago. December 4th.
Oh my God.
That's shocking.
I could have sworn that We've was done after 10 episodes. That was after Christmas. That was mad.
Done 10 episodes since December 4th. That is quite... For a two-episode-a-week podcast, that is shocking.
Yeah, that's not good. We do have a couple of listener questions just to throw in.
I'm surprised we still have listeners.
Yeah. We didn't get a lot of questions, so maybe that'll tell you what way the listenership's going. But Eamon wants to know when's the next trade night. We're not going to announce that here, Eamon. Keep listening.
Keep asking.
Keep listening.
Not yet. It's not here. We just got revitalized.
AJ Cards has two questions, and one of them is the same as someone else's question. So we'll just do this one first. Is there anything, I know we've talked about this at length on the show, but is there anything, looking back on the card show, you'd like to add or do differently for next year? If it's a secret, you don't want to give it away, that's all right too.
Me and Jason sent out feedback forms to all various types of vendors and also the attendees. So we've got a lot of feedback. Going next year, I suppose my plan is to approach the venue with all the stats, figures, feedback, and try to get them to do a bit of a better job in some aspects and to reduce some costs as well. Beyond that, I want more activations. We just didn't have time to kind of pull them together. We did our best to get the Europa League trophy there because the final is in Dublin. We were excited about trying to do that. Didn't work. Maybe getting some athletes over, potentially. I don't love disrupting the flow of the card show, so I'm not essentially for that. The kind of talk that we had going on as part of KitCon at the show, we wouldn't do that again. That was supposed to be in a separate room. It ended up on the main stage, and it basically went about as well as we thought it would have went if that was going to happen. We'll just have more time to plan. We'll have more dollar boxes, $5 boxes, 10, all the way 20, organization, price everything in advance. One of the biggest feedback we got from people was that there was not enough TCGs. Funnily enough, I think if we asked any sports people, they would have said... Yeah, I know. If we asked any of the sports people, they would have defaulted to, it was about 50-50. But it really wasn't. And we got that feedback from kind of Irish card people that didn't know too much about sports, the kind of people we wanted in the room, we got them in the room. And we did have various TCG tables there, but they obviously felt like it wasn't enough. I'd like a couple of big boy TCG vendors that could really satisfy those people. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to do some changes with the venue food, which we decided to go cold food only. People complained a little bit about the food's price and stuff like that. So I'd like to bring that to the venue and say, hey, if you want us to pay a big sum of money for the room, I want catering to be done a little bit differently. Even though the catering woman that was in charge of that was wonderful. So I feel bad to kind of throw her to the dogs. But listen, it's a tough game.
All right.
Nothing to add to that, Jason.
No, nothing to add to that. No. Okay, Sickball FC and AJ Cards both want to know some players that might see a price hike in Euro 2024. I have to say, the 23-24 season, in terms of rookies and who's playing well and all that stuff, has almost entirely passed me by. I feel like I hit my head or something like that. I feel like I just cannot keep names, figures, and details in my head like I could for the first 200 episodes of the podcast.
You've started drinking again.
So I've written down some names that I'm just going to throw out. Julian Nagelsmann said that he views Musiala and Florian Wirtz as his two key cogs in his German team. Obviously, it's been hosted in Germany, very strong record in international football. And I do think the people kind of are vaguely aware that Bayer Leverkusen are having a good season. But I don't think people have spent a lot of time watching Florian Wirtz over the last season. He is still as good, you know, and has turned out better than a lot of the rookies that he would have kind of shared initial hype with. Musiala has not shone really under Thomas Tuchel at Bayern. No one's really shone under Thomas Tuchel at Bayern. But I think both those players could be the difference makers for Germany. I think for Spain, you have Lamine Yamal, Nico Williams as well, although, you know, we all saw him at the World Cup. Because he's playing for Athletic Club Bilbao, like he's not really on most people's radar. He's really, really good. And if he's given a chance to shine, I think he can. Then I'm just random names. Rasmus Højlund got 7 goals in qualifying. Arda Güler, although remember we were all talking about Turkey the last Euros, was a dark horse and they got walloped by everybody.
That happened.
Yeah. Benjamin Sesko got 5 goals in qualifying. I'd love to see him do some stuff for Slovenia, because for a smaller nation like Slovenia, like 1 or 2 goal performances in the group stage, everyone goes, whoa, because you're not really expecting Sesko to come out and score goals. So if he could do that.
No.
Wilfred Nanto, I was playing the championship with Leeds for Italy. He would have been in...
Defending champions.
Defending champions. Wow.
I think Federico Chiesa could also have another good tournament off the back of his last Euro tournament. But
has he played at all? Is he?
He came back for a while for ourselves. He helped us qualify. I think he is back now for Juventus, I believe. But yeah, I just don't see us having many attacking players. I do think if we can get him fit and on the pitch, he will still be the guy we're looking to.
Yeah.
Like, do something with the stick.
Yeah.
Do something. Do anything.
I have to say, I saw...
It's a bit... Tell me.
I saw Roma versus Brighton. And Rossi has Roma playing really, really well. But it's amazing to see Spinazzola back and at his kind of, I would say, even better than he was when he got injured at the Euros. It's pretty exciting to see.
We're going
to
win it.
You reckon you're going to win it? Retain it?
Yeah, I reckon. I think Spain definitely have players that, you know, we never know how it'll go, but I think some of the young guns for Spain will stand out, especially because they're in the same group as Italy, as Croatia. So in the group stage, a lot of people will actually be watching their games, and I think some of the young guns could really shine.
Uh-huh.
I think, and also, I don't think you can look past Kylian Mbappe. He probably will be the superstar of the tournament again, and there'll be a lot of eyes on him. And let's not forget Rafael Leão, my friend. If Roberto Martinez decides, or whoever the hell is manager of Portugal these days, decides to actually let Rafael Leão break a few legs instead of letting the Ronaldo fella and Joao Felix donkey it around up front, we'll see some tournament from the Portuguese. There you go.
There you are. Very good. Yeah, we don't know who's gonna stand out at the Euros this summer. I think we all feel a bit lost in the new era. Yeah.
I think Anthony
keeps telling us that he's that guy, but we don't listen.
We don't listen. We never listen. So maybe it's the guy who scored a hat trick in the World Cup final might do well this year.
Yeah.
You never know. He is getting on. He's getting old, Jason.
He's only what, 24 now?
24 now. Something like that, yeah.
All right.
It's one of those things where this is his tournament. This is like one of the first tournaments he's going into as the guy.
This is his tournament.
I know he's done it. Don't get me wrong. But I'm saying, is this the first time I think he's almost, I don't want to call him one of the senior French players, but he kind of is now.
Well, he definitely, yeah, definitely is, yeah.
Like, normally it's always Griezmann they're kind of looking at, etc. But like, kind of feels like he's top of the chops and not the young gun. He's kind of the guy where it's like, all right, come on.
Yeah.
Let's go. So
leading from the front, setting standards, etc., etc.
And this all leads into, Jason, this all leads into the 2026 World Cup. Mm. So we'll see.
Mm.
We shall see.
What's that? What you got there?
Playing around, Jason. That's none of your concern.
Okay, we're back on Thursday, I guess.
Today's today, Wednesday.
It's Tuesday.
Yeah, we'll bounce back.
See you in a couple of days.